GNC603. It's Tuesday, August 20th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a program of the Tech Podcast Network, and I got a great show for you and a little tactic change tonight. We'll talk about that here in a second. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Everyone, welcome to the show. And of course, I want to give a warm welcome to all of the longtime listeners of the show. And of course, a hearty welcome to the Ohana, those of you that are part of the family here. Thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed. And of course, thanks for promoting the show. All of you that are new to the show, hey, you are automatically part of the Ohana. You're part of the family just by the existence of listening or watching the show. So we want to welcome you to the Ohana as well. Hey, we got listeners from 170 countries worldwide, and that's pretty amazing. And we're starting to hear from a lot of these foreign listeners. And this is what I kind of want to do through the end of the month. If you are outside of the United States and you're listening to this show, drop me an email and just say hello. Do a little call out from the country you're listening from. And we'd like to really kind of have all the external countries outside of the United States check in over the next couple of weeks. And for nothing else, just to say hi so we get to know some of our Ohana that's outside of the United States. Of course, make sure you get signed up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about during the show today. And the best part about the newsletter is that it's got all the links to all the articles. It has little tidbits from me. It has really everything you're going to need to know what happened during the show so that as you're listening to the show as well, you can follow along and click through to the different articles and so forth. And it's a great reference point. Many people say, as far as the newsletter goes, that, man, Todd, I keep them all in a separate folder because I remember talking about a certain topic, and then I'll go back and I'll find that newsletter and I'll find that link. So really, it's an encyclopedia of what's happening in tech, all the latest and greatest. And really, as far as I'm concerned, it's one of the best resources out there that's part of the show. Of course, you can always find that content over at geeknewscentral.com as well. Audio is sounding a little tinny tonight. I wonder if someone has been in messing with the audio settings. So I'll have to give a check on that between now and the next show. Actually, next two shows are going to be with me on travel, and I'm going to be on the East Coast. So both the Tuesday and Thursday show, or actually Monday and Thursday show, will probably be streamed live starting at about 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, thereabouts, depending on how my schedule works. So give me a little flexibility. For those of you on the West Coast, you can watch the show before you leave work, or just hang out at work for an extra hour and watch. For those of you on the East Coast, I'll be doing the show during your prime time. So make an effort to come over to geeknewscentral.com at around 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and hang out with me. Hey, if you're up on the Ustream, make sure you Twitter that we're up and online right now. We appreciate that. Of course, for those of you checking out on Justin TV, welcome as well. For those of you that are watching watching the show delayed on either the Roku or on Boxy, hey, I want to thank you guys for hanging out. Now, dependent upon the audio and video quality from the shows on the road, will depend on whether or not I drop the next two videos into the Roku channel or not. It also is going to have a lot to do with my bandwidth availability. So if you basically are watching the show and it's about a week since the last show, come over to geeknewscentral.com and subscribe to the show and get the audio portion so you don't miss a show when we're basically on travel. I'm going to try to put the videos up. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed that works out. I did a little boo-boo personally induced on the last time I was on the road, and I'm not going to do that again. We'll make sure that the video quality is up there. Hey, of course, if you're looking to get online and you're looking to make your presence known, really the best way to do that is consider going over to GoDaddy.com and picking up a domain name, a dedicated server, a virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account. And I tell you, purchases over there using my promo codes really keep my lights on. So quite literally, they keep the lights on and help keep the family fed here. So if you're thinking about a domain name product or a web host, a virtual dedicated server, any type of product over at GoDaddy, consider them for your online source. Of course, you can use my promo codes over there to check out. That's where really the rubber hits the road. TODD will save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd20 will save you 20%. 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. ComSales, good for .com renewals and a 769, I believe, .com domains. And a real special offer for those of you that are not currently a GoDaddy customer, Geek199. That's $1.99.coms over at GoDaddy.com. And we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. And I'm going to tell you, go ahead and manage your GoDaddy account through your phone, either your BlackBerry, your Android, or your iPod, I mean your iPhone, and they have apps for each of the devices, and you can manage all your stuff there. So anyway, thanks for GoDaddy. You guys hear the dishes being done in the background? I hear some noise coming from the kitchen. That's because we are hand-washing dishes at the Cochran household right now until the new dishwasher arrives. In Hawaii, if you want a major appliance, it's generally not in stock. And so it's usually a couple of weeks before it's delivered, and the kids have been real happy about having to hand wash dishes. They're getting an appreciation, and I don't think we'll hear too many more complaints about the dishwasher when the new dishwasher arrives. Okay, let me talk a little bit about a new tactic I'm going to take. And this really, I've been thinking about things to do to move Geek News Central forward. And, my whole goal this year was to introduce the Geek News Central Insider program, so where we would have enough community support, enough listener support to be able to basically allow me to hire an additional person to bring in, not only to start an additional show, but also to assist around here in things that we do on a day-to-day basis for GNC. And we'll talk about the Insider in a minute, but that hasn't progressed as fast, and I'm very impatient. So what I'm going to do is really I'm going to start out, and I'm going to look for five people that want to do shows on Geek News Central. In other words, you will be a guest, or not a guest, you will be a host of your own show on Geek News Central. So you'll be signed to work exclusively with the Geek News Central brand, working with my company. And there will be some things that we'll go through on how that's going to work. But I'm looking for people that are willing to do an initial 2-year commitment. Those that would like to align with GNC for at least 2 years in introducing your tech show or realigning your current tech show to GNC. I've got still to work out the full legal details of this, but the main thing here is I've always wanted to expand the content at GNC. So I thought what a better way to do that than to really recruit from the audience, from the people that listen and read the site, and maybe attract some people in that, maybe have had troubles getting getting some volume increase. And I think because we have a great built audience here, well, these new shows will obviously be on their own. They will have their own separate RSS feeds, but they will really come underneath the GNC brand in a way that allows them to leverage everything that I have worked towards up to this point. We are going to do additions. So really the first step, if you are interested in aligning yourself at Geek News Central and become a basically at least a weekly contributor of content, both audio and video, you should send me an email. And just do that. Send it over to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, and put in the line, I want to be a host, or I want to run a show at GNC. And again, this show stays with me. This is my show. This is my baby. This is where the Ohana comes in. But I will go through a very strict, regimented overview process to qualify a new talent that will come up on GNC. And there is going to be some commitment levels from the new host on to make sure that you really want to be here. And it's not necessarily going to be an easy process, but I have to make it that way. I have to be assured that when I bring on additional shows to the show, that when they start, that they will continue and that they won't fizzle out. And that's why I'm asking for a 2-year commitment from individuals that want to align themselves with Geek News Central. I think is a great way to do this. So anyway, send me an email if you're interested and you want to talk about what I'm proposing, and I can give you the basically the down and dirty details of that. Now, that being said, that's phase one of what I'm going to try to do. And my plan is to try to have five new shows up and running really before the end of the year. And so we're going to take this methodically and take the time and introduce shows the right way. And so it's going to be a little bit of a process, but we're going to continue to build the network at Geek News Central. Those shows will automatically be part of the Tech Podcast Network and, of course, have the resources available that Raw Voice can bring to bear. But they have to perform, and it's going to be just like any other show host that's running their show. But the simple fact is that they'll be underneath our banner head, and I'm pretty excited about being able to do this. And really, it's one of those things where, again, I was in the shower, and I'm thinking, okay, how do I move this thing along? And this is potentially big. So, and this is going to play right into definitely going into the garage as a studio next year, and possibly bringing in talent here in Hawaii to do some stuff as well. So I'm pretty excited about moving forward, irregardless of the Insider program. And I probably should have done this a year ago, but it's just the way things kind of work. Now, the question I want to ask all of you that are listening and watching is, what would it take for you to be an Insider? So, and I really haven't quite figured out why the adoption rate hasn't been as high. So I'm going to put a survey up. I think it's got 6 questions, and you're not going to have to leave your name or email address or anything like that. I am going to be asking if you're man or female, and I'm going to asking if you're a male or female. Then I'm going to ask a few other questions on specifically about the Insider. And I would really like some feedback and for you guys just to be brutally honest. I love you guys. You guys are part of the Hana. You're part of my family. So I feel that we can be honest with one another. And I want you guys to share with me what it would take for me from a production standpoint, what I would have to do here to entice you to become an Insider. So I'll have that survey linked in the show notes. Those of you in the newsletter, it'll be there. It's basically going to say, click here to take Insider Survey. And when you're done taking it, I'll have a little message for you. If you want to send me an email, I'm not going to tell you what the title of the subject is, because then people can email me without knowing what to put in the subject line. But there's a specific thing that you're going to have to put in the subject line to send to me. And if you do, and it matches what it says after you have exited the survey, you're going to get a chance to win a nice little prize that I'll give out probably in about a week. So we're going to run the survey, and it's basically talking about the Insider and getting a small demographic data from you guys. This is going to lead up to a full-blown listener survey. We haven't done one in over a year, so we're going to do that at some point shortly. But this is strictly to find out where we have went wrong with the Insider program, and to get your guys' input. Okay, as I said before, travel schedule. I fly out of here Saturday night. I'm going to be in the D.C. area Sunday morning. I got a few things to do there. For the first couple of days, I'm going to be bouncing around the East Coast. I'm going to be on the go a lot. Probably no time to really have lunch and dinners because it can be meeting. And I think a different hotel every other night. And then Saturday, I fly back to Honolulu. And then I'll be home just for a single show the Monday following the travel. And then I will be going to Silicon Valley, actually San Jose, for the Set Top Box conference. It's a 2-day deal. And then we'll probably push the show for until Friday, 2 weeks from this week. But anyway, next three shows as scheduled. Don't worry, but we'll be on travel. Of course, make sure that, the sponsor tweets. We're still getting emails in on that. And I've got you guys all collected up, and we'll probably be sending out emails. Yeah, maybe a mid next week we get this thing going. I'm getting enough volume now. I feel comfortable with go ahead and launching that. So that if you want to become a tweeter for Geek News Central and be paid to do so, basically geeknews@gmail.com, subject line sponsor tweets, and it's a great way to make some really relatively easy money supporting the show here. And I'm not going to be asking anybody to do anything crazy, that's for sure. And there's nothing that would cause you to lose followers or anything like that. But feel free to email me here, geeknews@gmail.com, for sponsor tweets. If you got comments on tonight's show, 619-342-7365 is the voicemail hotline, open 24 hours a day, 365 days out of the year. All right, real quick, those of you that are business owners, hey, pay attention here because this is the easiest deal going for the show. Are you a slave to your small business? Do you miss out on games, recitals, holidays because your business needs you? That's me. Is the constant stress getting to you? I don't think so yet. Infusionsoft can help. Infusionsoft has helped thousands of overwhelmed entrepreneurs put their businesses on autopilot and get their lives back through the power of automated follow-up. Infusionsoft can help. Visit infusionsoft.com/pod1. To see it in action, fill out your name and your data that they're asking you for there. Watch the short video, and I think you'll be impressed with their products and services. I want to thank Infusionsoft for being a new sponsor here, of course, at Geek News Central. All right, let me go ahead and bounce into the content tonight, and let me bring up the very first article. And this is over at green.autoblog.com. And it's pretty cool. The folks at Kia, you know, you hear the word Kia and some people wrinkle their nose a little bit. But those of you that live in the city, I think you're going to be jazzed when you see this concept car. Kia has previewed an all-electric concept vehicle at the Paris Motor Show. Or actually, it's going to be debuted at the Paris Motor Show next month. And this is really just a new battery-powered commuter concept. Kia has only released a few details about its doorstop-shaped pop concept, including its sub 10-foot length and its 3-seat layout. And they've gone with a bench seat type of seat in the front, but it doesn't talk about range or anything like that. But it's, you know, looks really space age. And if I was definitely living somewhere where the commute was relatively short, this looks like a pretty good, you know, concept car and a decent idea. So anyway, we'll see how when they plan to bring this to the market. You know, concept vehicles are relatively expensive to introduce, but they take a lot of usually a lot of money required to get from concept to production. So we'll see what happens if they're able to do that. Over time, I guess we'll find more out about this vehicle at the Paris Auto Show. So a pretty cool looking vehicle, I must say. And they actually in the images of it definitely look space age, looks like a composite type material. Of course, they always make the cars look as cool as possible. Hey, there's a rumor out that Canon is going to be introducing what's called the PowerShot G12 with HD recording capability, and this is causing a lot of buzz for Canon users. But you know, this is not, we're not talking about a DSLR camera. We're talking about you know, basically a mid-body size camera. And but anyway, this is the rumor that potentially an HD version, HD quality video recording version of this, and time will tell on this. So those of you that are Canon fans, you can be prepared for that. Of course, HP today came out with their earnings report, $2.3 billion in operating profit. Of course, that would have been $2.3 billion, $23 million or whatever it was if the their current or their now excommunicated CEO, Mark Hurd, was still with the company. But can you imagine? Just think about these golden parachutes that these CEOs get. You know, you don't care if you get fired. That's what he walked away with. $23 million. Now, of course, the company did good. They had a $2.3 billion quarter three operating profit. And that's not bad. But boy, oh boy, you know, $23 million. I think I could live and do a lot with $23 million. That's for sure. And think about the show. Think about that. I guess I need to play Lotto a lot more, but there's no Lotto here in Hawaii. We have no lottery. So anyway, and you guys keep hearing the pots and pans banging in the other room. Jeez, someone's going to get scolded after the show. That's for sure. All right, Dish Networks have surveying their users, and this survey is hinting at Google TV pricing. Here's a question that they're asking their customers. How likely are you to pay $219 up front with a $3 monthly service fee for Google TV with advanced integration? And it's, of course, probably would, not sure. The next question is, how would you prefer to purchase a Google TV device? Through Dish, online, Best Buy, no preference, other. Now, here's the thing about Google TV that has me raising my eyebrows a little bit. Google TV is going around, and it's being reported by the Wall Street Journal that they are talking to all the major NBC, CBS, ESPN, everyone else, and they're trying to get all the TV content onto the Google TV device, which tells me that while it probably is going to have all the set-top box qualities, it is very likely and a very high potential that you're going to be able to a la carte buy content. So I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm excited to see the full business plan. I know that I've got a couple of articles here a little later talking about Google TV, but still, there's nothing on the street yet, at least that we've heard about apps or anything like that. So we're kind of getting anxious because really September is right around the corner. That really leaves us with September, October, you know, 4 months before the end of the year. And with the potential devices coming out in November, that's really 3 months or 90 days. So Google, if you're watching, hey, I'll sign whatever NDA you want me to sign, but we need to start building apps for your Google TV. We want to be on there. If anyone has a connection at Google, has a friend or a family member, hook the geek up and my team at Raw Voice. We want to build out the channels and be ready for launch. So keep us in mind, okay? Hey, over on the Sharpie blog, last week there was this big hoorah about the liquid pencil. And the liquid pencil is basically, it writes like a pencil, but then after a week or so, it's supposed to not be able to be erasable any longer. Well, this pencil, which is going to be available sometime in September in stores, it turns out that some folks that left the paper out that they wrote on went back a week later, and it's still erasing. And Sharpie's basically come out with, well, you know, it's not complete. It's, you know, they've kind of, so far, this thing is not doing what we think it's supposed to be doing. And I would think after you had written something up and then after a week, it would not erase. You would think that's what would be permanent then, but not quite there. So what's the difference between that and using a pencil? In all honesty, though, who uses a pencil? I've been to, you know, people write on a pad or something maybe, but I don't know. I guess many of you probably use paper, a lot of paper in meetings and so forth, but I use my iPad. I go to a meeting now and it's, when I'm doing notes and stuff, it's all in my iPad. and works really well for doing taskers and that kind of stuff. So I don't know. How many of you are excited about this liquid pencil? And do you even care that it it's not fully, it's actually not solidifying, I guess, for a better word, and it's not becoming permanent after a week? Is that an issue for you? And will you just use a pen instead? All right, Canon has come out with a photo printer that is doing some cool stuff here. And, you know, photo printers are a dime a dozen. We've, you know, they're out. Most of your printers you have probably at your homes now, you can stick a memory stick in and you get probably a little screen and you can print the photos. What they have done here is Canon is creating some features where you can do a random standout feature. It basically adds the ability, what's called an image optimization feature, which allows you to shuffle pictures, create a collage, a variety of different couple of quick little things that you can do to create a little different a picture from your source images. So I don't know. I guess we'll see what how this turns out. I know that the actually it's not in the office no more, but we've got a device where you can convert, and it's basically a little box where you, and it's by Sony, that you have a VHS player and it runs into it and a copy of DVD. And my wife has been loving that because she's been little by little, our VHS tape collection, which was way too big, has shrunk. Now we've got, you know, everything converted to DVDs, and then I take those DVDs and bring them on to the PC for permanent storage, and it just makes it easier. I don't have to be doing it through the computer in the first place. But anyway, these are just one of these one-off devices, and if you have someone that's not super technologically inclined, it probably is a good gift for a family member. Don't have the price here, but it's available over on Amazon. I have the link up in the show notes. Hey, Intel has acquired McAfee for $7.68 billion. And I heard about this today, and I was like, huh? What is the deal with this? I'd be honest with you. I don't understand why Intel acquired McAfee. They say, this is what the McAfee CEO said. We believe this acquisition will result in our ability to deliver a safer, more secure, and trusted internet-enabled device experience. This has added a wonderful new phase to the... never mind. That's editor's comment. But why would Intel... And a disclosure here, I own Intel stock. I don't fully understand this purchase. I really don't. But... $48 per share in cash, and Intel has said that the company is going to function as a wholly owned subsidiary, and so keep the name with the little Intel logo on there somewhere. So what do you guys think about this? Any reaction? Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. All right, PlayStation 3 users, get ready to be happy. But be careful. There is now a mod chip, and this is an article over on Engadget. There is a mod chip that has come out that claims to allow backing up games without invasive console surgery. And, so I guess this is probably a good idea. We will see if this is, how PlayStation is going to react to this. And we all know that the PlayStation 3 has, up to this point, you know, withstood a lot of hacking attempts. But the osmodchips.com test, again, osmodchips.com is available. There's a YouTube video. It shows how it works. And so if you're a PlayStation 3 user, you may want to pick up this mod chip. Love to hear from you guys that do and how it's worked. No PlayStation 3 here in this house. So no chance. I don't know what it costs either, okay? So... and also I would be real worried about, I'd be very worried about the, you know, essentially, someone getting the hold of the list of customers for the PlayStation 3 that buys this. I could see a lawsuit coming, but jailbreaking is allowed. So, good luck. And then hopefully the lawyers won't come after this company. All right, this next one's a little creepy. There's a new implantable antenna design, and it's called Silk. It's stronger than Kevlar, thinner than a human hair. It's biocompatible. In other words, it doesn't trigger the human immune system response. And this is even more weird. It's produced by insects. And researchers at Tufts University have created a silk and gold biosensor that can be implanted in the body to keep tabs on proteins and chemicals. And one possible use is they're saying that this could be a way to keep track of a diabetic's glucose levels, notifying the patient when things go wonky. And at the present time, they've only tested the antenna itself, and it was found to resonate at a specific frequency even when implanted in several layers of muscle tissue. Now, this they didn't do this on a human. They did this on an animal. But for their next attempt here, they'll outfit the device with other types of basically a sensor of some sort, and hopefully they're going to be able to have an implantable device that you won't have to take medicine to make sure your body doesn't reject in order to track different things going on. And I think it's kind of cool from a perspective of for diabetics. You know, if you've got one of these implanted, let's say it's 10 years from now, you've got one of these implanted and you have maybe your phone in your pocket that's tied to this thing and your glucose levels go a little off, it sends you a text and say, hey, maybe time for a shot. But maybe at that point, maybe you won't even have to get a shot. Maybe you will have some sort of automatic insulin dispenser and where they can give you smaller doses of insulin on a more often basis to, you know, keep everything chemically balanced. Only time will tell on how this is going to work, but we will see if this team is able to trick this thing out and make it implantable. All right, Alan has posted a great article at Geek News Central talking about three of the best apps for Gmail, and this is a great one here that he has come up with, and I'll have this, of course, up in the show notes for you. Of course, you can just check it out at Geek News Central itself. So if you are using Gmail, Boomerang is an add-on. It allows you to schedule your email, both sending and receiving. It's a free download, and there's also a version available for Outlook. There is a plugin called Follow Up Then. It's a free service that doesn't even require a sign-up, but it allows you to add a follow-up date or time in the CC or BCC field of an email, such as 1 day or 2 day, 2 hours. Basically, it will send a reminder from the folks if there hasn't been a follow-up from an intended addressee. And there's Backupify. Now, I've used this here. We actually talked about this in one of our Tech Podcast roundtables. And it does a lot more than backup Gmail. It backs up your Facebook, Twitter, Flickr, Google Docs. And I've been using Backupify now for a while and really like the application. So you can check out Backupify at backupify.com. And again, it's a way to kind of back up stuff off these social media sites so that like Facebook and other places where you can get your data, you know, somewhere safe where it's outside of those walled gardens. They have had trouble in the past with some other vendors because some of the vendors were blocking them. They didn't want them to be pulling data off, but you can pull stuff off Picasa, PhotoBookit, Delicious, Hotmail, FriendFeed, Basecamp, Zoho, Blogger, and WordPress. Again, Twitter, Flickr, Google Docs. So Backupify is a pretty cool product, and thanks for Alan for reminding me about that service, which I can just set it and forget it is what I have done. All right, tablets, ebook readers, and paper. Good article by Trucker Tom. He basically talks about schools that imagine a school that passes out an Amazon Kindle instead of a printed textbook, and talks about really it would eliminate the essentially how much paper we would save. There wouldn't be this myriad of problems of replacement books because things could be digitally updated. And he talks about taking the electronic book thought experiment a little bit farther and would be for teachers to hand out tests and other traditional paper handouts as well. And he says on this, the stickiest problem with this scenario would revolve around having an easy-to-use input system on these devices that allows students to write phrases, paragraphs, papers, and draw images or diagrams to send back to the teacher. He says all this technology already exists in various forms. Perhaps the iPad comes close to meeting many of these requirements, but some form of the dreaded pressure stylus input would still be needed. Also, two separate devices would be needed, a reading screen and an input screen on which to write, type, and or draw. And he goes on to say, are we there yet? He says, not quite, but we're getting close. With the success of the Kindle, iPad, smartphones, and maturing touchscreen technology, the day of eliminating needs a ton of paper is finally becoming a practical, desirable reality. Now, one thing that was being done in my kids' school district is some of the textbooks are actually now available online. So they've given them a login. They can go in and they can actually see a PDF version or of the actual textbook that they're learning from. It's only two classes that are doing that. Another thing that I thought was cool this year was the schools actually, like the math books that are that thick, they sent the math books home. They stay home all year. And then when they go to school, they don't have to put those in the backpack, and then they just have math books in the classroom for them to use. So I thought that was smart. But as we went to a open house last night, I was asking the English teacher, and she was really discussing the her challenge in getting books. So I asked her, I said, well, you know, ebooks are becoming very popular. A lot of kids have computers at home. They spend a lot of time on the PC. I said, you know, why don't you partner up with the Honolulu library system? Because you can check books out. And for kids with ebooks, you said you could come up with a recommended a reading list, and it would be easy for the kids to get books digitally. And my kids go through a lot of books, and they're not digital. They're doing paperback at this time. But, you know, it's going to come a point here at some point where I could see buying them maybe a Sony ebook reader or something that where they would interface real well with the public library system. So the teacher said, yeah, that's kind of a good idea, and she took it for thought. But there's no reason in today's day and age that depending, if as long as you can get online, you have a computer, doesn't mean if you have an ebook or not, you should have plenty of access to free library books digitally that's available through your public library system. I know that's big here in Hawaii, so I check it out in your neighborhood, and that will, it sometimes saves me basically buying stuff from Amazon all the time too. And, you know, it's but fully DRM'd, and it expires, and you can't read it after a certain point. It's just like checking out a regular book, so kind of cool. All right, there's an article over in Gizmodo talking about doctors are blogging about the weirdest stuff they've removed from patients. And some of the stuff on this list is not family safe, so I won't go into it. But one of the doctors said, I once retrieved a plastic helicopter from a child's nose. A general surgeon says, 5 pens, 2 permanent markers, 3 straws, 2 toothbrushes, 4 Oreo cookie wrappers, all at the same time from the stomach of a patient. A pen? How do you swallow a pen? And this rest of the stuff, I'm not going to go into some of the stuff that was found. That's all I can say. And I don't even think I can put this link up in the show notes because I'll just tell you, I found it over in Gizmodo. You guys go over there and look. All right? You look yourself. Oh, my gosh. What people do. All right. Here's something funny. You have a United States passport? Well, you have a little bit of a challenge here. They have these new visa and border crossing cards. And actually, it's not a not a passport. But the folks over at NotCot, and this is brought to you by the folks at Gizmodo, took a microscope and looked at the text in the actual embed of the border crossing card. And guess what they found underneath the John Quincy Adams picture? You guys know how Adams is spelled, right? When it comes to a president, A-D-A-M-S, right? Well, in this border visa and border crossing card, they spelled Adams, A-D-M-E-S. How did that ever get through the scrutiny of someone? How is that even possible to me, that is just, that's government bureaucracy and incompetency at its highest level. It's amazing. It really is. So I don't know anybody that has one of these, but if you've got a B1, B2 visa and border crossing card, get a magnifying glass or something out, or a microscope, and look at this, and you'll see that they spelled it wrong. Makes you wonder who they've got creating those cards. I wonder if they outsource that someplace. Over at MacNN.com, if you are an iPad user and you've been on Gmail in the last couple of days, you will have noticed that they have the ability to run under what's called a card system. And this is a little different on how you can actually read email. And I don't know if I like it or not. So if you've got on Gmail in the last couple of, or in the last few days, on your iPad, and you've seen this new layout, what do you guys think? Personally, I like the way it was. I don't know why they've completely changed that. And it's not apparent in this article if it's potentially, if you can potentially go back to the old way of doing it. But it basically, you know, you click on the email and it looks like a business card on top. And it's supposed to be, you're supposed to be able to look at different conversations or so forth. So anyway, I don't know. We'll let you guys take a look at it in Gmail and let me know what you think about it. All right. Moving on to some stuff going on with Apple. Apparently, Apple's testing iOS 4.1 alongside a next-gen iPod Touch, an iPad, and an unknown product. So apparently, they have an unknown product that is being tested. It's being found in some logs. And so is this the next Apple TV? Is this what maybe are the iTV that could be coming? So a lot of speculation going on. It's Apple product ID number 20547. Its textual description is similarly listed as unknown. I'm betting you that Apple has got the ITV in test. All right, hats off to the former Soviet Union, USSR, on the 50th anniversary of Sputnik. And so anyway, that that is, can you believe it's been 50 years? 50 years ago today, the Soviet Union launched the Korbel Sputnik 2 spacecraft known as Sputnik 5 in the West, carrying two dogs named Belka and Strekla, along with mice, rats, and flies into space. And everyone came back alive. So, anyway, 50 years since they launched. Of course, we sent a monkey in space, so they were really worried what was going to happen to astronauts. They figured that their eyeballs might fly over. They were really worried about some of the stuff that today we take for granted. And if you ever get a chance to watch the Apollo series, it's really good. And it goes into some of that real kind of nitty gritty early history of what happened at NASA and the fear they had of sending live humans into space. I was actually surprised that they didn't, I won't say what I thought they may have sent, but no, forget it. In other words, I was surprised that they didn't send a cadaver. But no, they sent a monkey instead, which I guess was good. Monkey's alive. All right, stay-at-home mobile technology distracting fleet drivers too. Okay, Trucker Tom, you may be interested in this. Commercial and fleet drivers are no less resistant at operating handheld devices than the rest of us. Among the newest in the group is up 9% in the last 3 months. This data comes from SmartDrive, a San Diego, California-based driver monitoring company that specializes in fleet safety and operational efficiency. In the last quarter alone, SmartDrive collected 3.51 million driving events from 21,456 video-equipped vehicles to determine what activities are taking up the attention of commercial drivers. What used to be the CB radio is now handheld devices. Two of the top five distracting activities witnessed in the group are operating a mobile phone, up 27% from the previous quarter, and using some other type of handheld device such as a GPS or an MP3 player, up a hefty 38% from the first 3 months of 2010. Rounding up the top five are expected activity, smoking, drinking, or holding some other physical object while behind the wheels. They go on to say, by analyzing in-cab activity captured on video in the 15 seconds prior to those events, evaluators were able to observe several behavior associated with near collisions. The four most common behaviors observed in near collisions were drowsiness and falling asleep. No wonder where none of us are getting enough sleep. Running through a stoplight or stop sign. Engaging in a lane change, merge, or passing, and falling at an unsafe distance. So anyway, you know, fleet drivers, they are monitored at every turn. If they go too fast, it's reported. It's amazing. You know, Big Brother is watching the majority of trucks on the road today and calling home to mom and saying, hey, you know, your driver just exceeded the speed limit by X percent. And people get fired over that. All right, over at GigaOM, video streaming services for the iPad. Co-president HBO recently revealed plans for HBO Go on the iPad. HBO Go will provide about 800 hours of programming. Verizon Lite TV, new TV has covered a Verizon Fios press briefing where the CIO demonstrated a new iPad app that provides live TV to Fios users. Dish Network, of course, announced a couple of weeks ago that they're bringing streaming video to the iPad as well. And it'll work in conjunction with the Sling Player if you have a DVR that's got Sling Player built in. And we know that the future is built around video services. So, you know, we're going to see more of this. And streaming to the iPad is a little bit of a challenge at this point because of the format that Apple has laid forward. You have to have a fallback audio stream as well. And there's only a couple of services out there right now that have commercial services that you can use to stream to the iPad. And I would like to be able to stream this show to the iPad through like Ustream or Justin. But at this point, I don't think I'm being taken up on either one of those sites being re-encoded because it has to be re-encoded through another encoding machine. And so I think it's just a matter of time. That's the only thing Apple's really caused problems with. Hey, over on Facebook, they announced today how to protect your privacy on Facebook Places. The EFF has a good write-up here about Facebook Places and what you can do to protect yourself if you don't want people to know where you're going when you're checking in to those different places on Facebook. So with their new location feature that competes with the Foursquare, Google Latitude, Loop, Gowalla, and other services like that, they're telling, basically EFF is saying, hey, make sure that you have your security settings set so that only your friends can see where you are tagged in a location unless you have opted out from for the everyone master setting on private control. So I have this link up there. So just be aware with these new features that if you don't have your security set right, everyone in your brother can see basically where you're at, where you're checking in to different places. Hey, we're on fortune.com, and actually it's on the tech section at tech.fortune.cnn.com. Time has made a big announcement. This week, the People app is free to those of you that are subscribing to People. And now Time, SI, and Fortune are expected to launch that as well. So in other words, if you subscribe to the magazine version, you're going to be able to get access to People, SI, and Fortune through the iPad as well. So I think that's smart. Now, up until today, the iPad versions of People, Time, Sports Illustrated, and Fortune have cost the same as the newsstand price of $3.99 for each issue of People and $4.99 to $5.99 each for the rest. So with this change, you're going to be able to get access to both. Now, I don't read Sports Illustrated. I don't read Time. I don't read People. I saw some guy reading People the other day, and I was kind of like, I thought it was a little odd. And it's mostly a gossip magazine, I think, right? You know, you expect someone to be, you know, you expect a, you know, a guy to be reading a sports, a sports magazine or some business review or something, and he's reading People. So, do each his own. So, yeah, maybe Fortune will be good. I don't know. I haven't read Fortune in years. So, hey, on the New York Times, they responded to the article that was over on Wired talking about, is the web dying? You know, Wired had said the web is dead. And but the folks over at the New York Times did a little closer look at what's really going on at the web, and they don't think so. The New York Times says, is Wired right? Should we plaster rest in peace signs all over the web? They say, not exactly. It says a chart Wired used for its story shows that since 2000, web traffic has decreased as a percentage of our internet traffic in the United States. The graphic data comes from Cisco, a report that uses data from the Cooperative Association for Internet Data Analysis, a collaborative group that monitors internet infrastructure. But the website Boing Boing notes that if you change the graph to show actual traffic growth online, you can see the hockey stick-like growth over every aspect of the internet through the past two decades, including the web. It says, although Wired might be right in its assessment that apps are on the rise with billions downloaded from the Apple alone, many areas of the web continue to grow dramatically too. Traffic on Geek News Central continues to grow. It's not slacking off at all. Matter of fact, our numbers are up. So what do you think? Do you think the web is dead? Do you think Wired was right and said, rest in peace, salve for the internet as we know it? Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. All right, here we are. We're 2010, and every year, the administrators at Wisconsin Ballot College put together a list of information about incoming freshmen that is shared with the school's professors. It's not a list of student names or books that they'll need to order for class. Instead, professors are told about the cultural touchstones that shape the lives of students entering college this fall. It's called the Mindset List. They've been doing this since 1998. Here's the gist of it. The class of 2014 are not using email. They're texting, and they don't wear watches. They use their phones for time. I have a very nice watch that I bought 5 years ago, and it was, I think, probably $400 or $500 is what it cost, and I bought my wife a matching one. It was an anniversary present. And isn't that nice? I bought myself a watch. I wear it once in a blue moon. Like if we go to a nice event where we dress up more formally in Hawaii, dressing up formal is not an occurrence because we all wear aloha wear. But I carry it with me. And if I'm meeting an executive or something, I'll wear a watch. But generally, I don't wear a watch. You look at my cell phone for time. So I don't think, I'm right along with the class of 2014. I don't do watches, but I do email. And, they say they rarely use email because it's too slow. And, of course, letters, forget it. Now, my daughter, she has a pen pal who lives, in Indiana. She's an Amish girl, and her and my daughter write back and forth. And, because, Amish do not embrace traditional technology. Letter writing is their number one form of communication. So they use the phones, of course, as well. But my daughter and her pen pal back and forth. And I think it's good for kids to have some, ability to do actual writing instead of doing everything on the computer. Another thing, too, that they said is a dying habit is that most kids that are entering college this year are probably not using cursive writing. They've never written in cursive. I'll admit it's probably been since if I tried to write a letter in cursive, my hand would probably explode from pain. But it wasn't so many years ago that we probably all did that. So it just shows everything's changing and how much we rely on technology. Instead, we're all doing this or our kids are basically typing, or the kids are texting, right? So, and I've got a texting ninja right now that I'm having to put the brakes on. Now, what's your secret, parents? Just take the phone away, or what's your strategy you're using out there for your teenagers and texting? Because I'm trying to keep it in check. All right, and I have been had to put restraints on the internet too, because after certain hours, I'm finding some usage that isn't supposed to be there. So we're locking down some machines, and it's just teenager years. That's what it is, and a few groundings have taken place. Hey, over on Ars Technica, just check this out. An internet service provider has published their top data hog. And a Belgian ISP user between July 4th and August 6th of this year used 2.7 terabytes of data. He was followed by similarly impressive downloaders who transferred 1.9, 1.5, and 1.3 terabytes respectively. And then those numbers dropped off pretty quickly. Only a single user on the entire network topped 2 terabytes in a month, while another 7 topped 1 terabyte. So here's the question. Now, they didn't do this to punish those top users. They did it to show that there was additional services available for a higher price. For example, and again, I don't know what the currency, I'm assuming the euro is the currency in Belgium. Someone's going to correct me, I'm sure, if I'm wrong. But for 99 euro a month, they were able to download it 100 megs per second and upload it 5 megs. Isn't that amazing? 100 megs per second and 5 megs up at euro 99 euros. I would die to pay for that type of speed. Here was the 30.64 euros per month, 15 megs down, 2 and 1 meg up. 42 euros, 30 megs down, 1.25 megs up. 69 euros, 50 megs down, 2.5 megs up. Amazing. So anyway, there, you know, these, I don't know what these folks are downloading. but one ISP told the reporter that a single user transferred 4 terabytes of data in a single month from a consumer internet account, and they don't know what were they doing, downloading movies and torrents, I'm sure, but 4 terabytes, that's a lot. You think about the hard drive space. You think of your hard drive in transferring 4 terabytes. It's a lot. Hey, update on the Gulf oil spill. A report out today. Today's issue of Science contains one of the most detailed assessments of the oil plume that was released into the Gulf of Mexico by the damaged oil well. The work performed with a remotely operated submersible showed that a plume remained intact for at least 35 kilometers and was subject to very little breakdown by microbes. Although bad news in terms of persistence of the oil, it's good news for fish in that the plumes are less likely to result in oxygen depletion. But it's amazing. Now, they don't say how wide, but it was a 35-kilometer plume, which is significant. But anyway, we'll have more on that. Link will be up in the show notes. And we continue to get some email from folks in the Gulf, too, and I've got that tonight in the email. The FCC is thinking about forcing internet service providers to advertise minimum speeds. Now, in Hungary, they have to. They have to advertise minimum speeds. And, you know, this is the big scam here in the United States, is that up to, that's their key word. Well, you're up to 12 megs down. Well, up to 12 megs down only happens when your whole entire neighborhood has went out to dinner and 50% of the rest of the state has decided to watch TV, and you are actually able to get 12 megs on a connection to another provider on, you know, we never see our maximum speeds. It's, you know, in the evenings, the speeds drop. And, you know, it's middle of the night is great when everyone's asleep. But I think this is awesome, and I think we should the FCC should implement minimum speed in advertising. Here is how the ISPs in Hungary have to do it. 5 megabits max download transmission rate, guaranteed download rate for DSL 1 meg, for cable net 500 kilobits, for OptiNet 2.5 megabits, upload for DSL and cable net max 500 kilobits. Guaranteed rate is 192 kilobits. For OptiNet, max is 2.5 megabits. Guaranteed rate is 1.25 megabits. fixed monthly recurring charges without any usage fee. This is awesome. See, it tells the minimum speed that you're going to be guaranteed. This is what we need in the United States. How to recreate a new identity online. And this is a little tongue-in-cheek by the BBC in true BBC humor. True UK humor. And Stephen Smith investigates what it takes to reinvent yourself online. I'll have this link up in the show notes. I think you guys will get a laugh about this. Another BBC article is talking about the WikiLeaks encryption use offers legal challenges. And it talks about really the legal challenges that are being raised by WikiLeaks. And then putting up that uncrackable file. And there's just a whole bunch of stuff that's going on there. And I think it's probably making a lot of countries shudder with the consideration of what can be done today on the internet. And we don't know what is in that the document that has not yet to be released. But I would imagine that some people in the U.S. government would probably be very nervous. And digital data today is so transportable that sadly, folks that are willing to be traitors of their country are probably going to, you're going to see more of this. And it's disgusting. And it just makes you sit back and go, but from the government perspective, I don't know what they're going to be able to do. And I don't know what changes are going to have to take place to prevent this type of thing happening again. Definitely government systems are going to get locked down a lot tighter and a lot more draconian IT practices for sure. Digital world, it used to be spies used to come into buildings with cameras and take pictures. Now they bring a USB stick. Amazing. I've got one article at Geek News Central. It's an article about a person that dropped an iPhone in a airline toilet. And I published it about 4 years ago, maybe. And it was just basically it was a copy from an article that I saw, and I gave attribution, of course, to where it come from. But StumbleUpon sends me about 5,000 hits a day to that single article. And, I laugh at the amount of traffic that StumbleUpon, people must love that article. And it's day after day after day. I get, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 hits to the same article day after day after. It is the number one read article at on the Geek News Central website. Well, StumbleUpon today has launched an iPhone and Android app. So for those of you that are hitting my site and reading the iPhone or iTouch or iPod or whatever it was in the airline toilet story, you can now do so via your iPhone or Android app with the StumbleUpon. And, I've always wondered, how can I monetize that particular page better? What can I put on there that will drive more dollars into? Because it's huge. It's a huge number every month. And they come and read the whole. It's a long article. They come and read it. It probably takes them 10 minutes to read. And it does. It's great for my time on page thing. It actually skews my stuff a little bit because they stay so long on that page. But if you're actually watching the show and in the sidebar and you're on that page, hey, there's a lot more content on Geek News Central. Make sure you search the rest of the site now. Question being asked over at eHome Upgrade, and it's a question to Google. Hey, Google TV, where are the TV-optimized apps? I agree. Where are they? Google, where are they at? When are we going to be able to start making them? What is the API? What's the form factor? What are we going to need to do? Now, Google TV has a Twitter account at Google TV, so you should go follow that. But they posted a link to their South by Southwest 2011 panel picker page, and the focus is on TV apps. And a description of the request is below. But they're saying Google TV is not on the market yet, but there's already strong appetite to integrate the web with TV in one easy-to-use experience. Now the last disconnected devices has been connected. What does it mean for people? How will Google TV succeed where others have failed? The answer is in part through the power of apps. The TV app economy is poised to grow from a 10 million to a 1.9 billion market by 2015. Apps unlock the potential of internet-connected TV because they create new ways of converging TV programming with the whole web and its promises of social video gaming and beyond. So where are the apps, Google? How do we get on to build an app? That's the question the folks over at ehomeupgrade.com are asking as well. And I'm sure they're going to launch with a whole bunch of partners, and the rest of us are going to have to wait. Now, Adobe is showing off why Flash is great for Google TV and basically, you know, being able to go to the BBC website and variety of different, it gives you some hints. They've got a Google TV demonstration at the Adobe headquarters, which I watched in fascination for 11 minutes and 32 seconds. So you need to check them out. Now, these videos are a little old, and I didn't know they were online. They were online, they've been online since May of 2010. But the folks at Adobe are happy that they're going to be able to continue to push Flash. All right, I'm going to be running long here already on time. And actually, no, I guess I'm okay. I'm looking at two different clocks. PogoPlug has gone wireless. And PogoPlug and a Generous Move has just announced that they'll begin giving away free wireless extenders to all current PogoPlug users. Owners to celebrate the introduction of its newly enabled features. I think we've gave away some Pogo plugs. So if you're one of the winners of a Pogo plug that came from this show, let me know. I have to go back through my email, but I have to get the receipts and see if I can get the wireless cards ordered for you guys. They are available for $29, but if I can get them for free, I'll try to. But Pogo plug wireless, this is great. Really, really is. You can put that device in another part of the house. There's a patch critical security flaw in Adobe Reader and Acrobat, and hopefully it'll be patched here shortly. So be careful where you're going and in downloading a PDF documents and so forth. Article over in telegraph.co.uk, in the title of this says it all. The universe will expand forever. New NASA study on dark energy concludes. That's a heavy statement. You know, they've always worried about the universe expanding to a certain point and then collapsing upon itself. But space agency researchers use the Hubble Space Telescope to narrow in on what they believe comprises energy, which pushes our universe apart at ever-increasing speed. This is kind of interesting. They think it's dark matter that's doing that. So raise eyebrows here, and I'm sure many of you are going, Link will be up in the show notes for you guys to check out in its entirety. A good article over on PBS.org talking about radio frequency identification tags and what is a true risk, what is a true invasion of privacy risk. And it goes into quite a bit of data here. It's a several-page article. I'll have a link up in the show notes for you on that. And basically, the RFID industry is saying, everyone's safe. Don't worry. No one's RFID chips can be read. And we know that's not possible. So I'll have this linked up for you. You can go through it. What do you guys think? Do you think RFID tags are a threat to your privacy? Do you think someone is going to target sales to your house by reading the RFID tags that are in your homes? That's a good question for you. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Okay, last couple articles is an update. There's 40 Windows apps contain critical bugs, says a researcher. That's on Computer World. There's an article out on TechDirt talking about court says it's okay to secretly record conversations if it's done for legitimate reasons. They're recording a telephone conversation without revealing it. So that's to have you guys up for that. And last question of the day, and I think everyone can answer this. Does checking your email on your BlackBerry count as overtime? Should you be paid overtime for all the work you're doing at home on your BlackBerry? What do you guys think? All right, let me get into the email because we ran short to be able to get through all the email on the last show. And my timer's clicking here pretty quick. Got a huge email from Shannon. He said, "Hey, Todd, I've been following your Geek News Central about 3 or 4 years. I've listened and enjoyed to a fair share of other podcasts, Nightwise, Tech Shark, Revision 3, and several others, all of which provide alternative views of our technology world. However, Todd, you've always been a reliable, real, and relevant. And it's, in April of 2009, I lost my job as a programmer, Then he goes on to say, oh, this Shannon must be a gal. Okay. Met my husband and rediscovered myself. I started a small business in computer network services in Mesa, Arizona, and quickly realized that the market is saturated with many similar providers. Now I already have a certain advantage over most of these players with a BS in networking technology from Collins College, 5 years corporate IT experience working in desktop and network support, followed by 2 years of programming. Even with this advantage, I found it more than difficult to attract and grow my client list large enough to support my financial needs. So I went back to school. I'm now attending Western International University custom MBA program and decided to enroll in this program because I feel strongly that it would help me build a sustainable, marketable business plan. Since starting the program, my vision has changed dramatically. Rather than providing on-site services and advice, I would much rather provide remote services. I don't wish to profit in the traditional manner via a prepaid incident-based service offering. Again, market share. There are plenty of these services and lack of people who lack what people really want. People ultimately want control over technology. Control is gained through knowledge, and I'm willing to provide this knowledge freely. I am an open source advocate of Ubuntu. To make an analogy, I believe that technology is like craftsman's tool bag, strong and sturdy, and the system is like a building. The tools are the pieces of knowledge. As you gather these tools and learn to use them, you gain skills. You might have a hammer and nails to start with, and you can only fix the fence. But as you build your tool set, before you know it, you're remodeling the kitchen, putting in a pool, and building a garden, and technology can be very similar. Long story short, TechAura's purpose is to provide technology solutions to the public, and I want to start this venture via video podcasting. I want to provide a short video tutorials along with a side and snarky weekly technology podcast for young adults. However, I have a bit of a conundrum. I don't have professional AV equipment. I'm starting with almost exactly where you did, with a $5 headset and a webcam. I know these things take time. I need to start broadcasting, but I always think bigger and want more. Would you be willing to help my quest? I want to start out the right way. Choose the best live streaming service, equipment, and best methods. At this point, I have just played around with podcasting services and some consumer and professional equipment and need to build a solid plan. I would appreciate any time and direction you're willing to provide. So here's what you need to do, Shannon. Do it. Start with a webcam, build a structure for your show, and just go forth. The only way you're going to get better over time is just to do it. And that's the best advice I can give you. You know, hopefully you have enough sustainable material for a long time. Build it, work it, have your own website, have your own point of presence. Read my book. There's some of it's not relevant material, but really how to plan out your show is all there. But yeah, I'd be happy and happy to talk with you anytime. And I hope this was for the show. Got a little private there at the end, but it didn't say it wasn't for the show. But feel free to drop me another email, and maybe we can arrange a time to chat sometime next week. Did I talk about my new media boot camp? I don't think I did. Gosh, I missed this. This is very important. I'm planning a new media boot camp. This will be a 2-day course over a weekend, so people that are working can attend it over a weekend. It's going to be live. It's going to be private, and it is going to be per a subscription. You're going to have to pay to attend. I'm working on the full line of topics and data and who I'm going to have in as guest, and it's all going to be live, a private stream, but I am going to set a price level. And depending on how many people respond will determine really what the price point is going to be, because it's, you know, there's X amount of work to do this. And I have a goal in mind on what I want to reach for people. But if you want to attend my new media boot camp, date has not been set, and the details on the price is not out there yet. I'll be happy to take your name and put it in the list and then send you the details when I get things firmed up. Geeknews@gmail.com on that. And Shannon, I'll let you know about that as well. Got an email from Allie. Says, hey, Todd, I'm a show behind. I'm just getting around to answering your question about what you think about UFOs. That's a difficult question. I think it'd be crazy to assume we are alone in this universe. Even if the Drake equation may put the percentage higher than it actually is, odds against it have to be astronomically small. But there's no real evidence that they are visiting us either. Eyewitness accounts and fuzzy photos are nice, but nobody has put forth one shred of physical evidence that science requires. Until this is produced, I'll keep thinking they're out there, but they aren't visiting here. I will not even go into the amount of people worldwide that would need to actively involve in a cover-up to hide such a thing. Let's face it, the government allows these secret keepers. said, I have no doubt what you saw. I have no doubt you saw something strange and unexplained, but the unexplained does not automatically mean extraterrestrial. I don't mean to offend you. I'm just stating my own point of view. If you'd like to see an explanation far exceeds mine, here's a link. Astrophysicist and head of Hayden Observatory at New York City's Museum of Natural History, Neil deGrasse Tyson, answering this exact question from the audience. It's a YouTube video. Alan in Maryland. Thanks, Alan, for that great link. And what I saw was not from this planet. And I got another email from Alan. Image of the day, Saturn's enigmatic moon, Enceladus, a habitat of life, ? Got an email here from Trucker Tom. He says, hey, Todd, girdles for men, beer-bellied guys are taking a cue from the ladies. And this is, men's girdles are now all the rage. You know, I have my own challenge with the gut, Tom, and I'm not going to wear a girdle. There is no way. I got an email from Gordon. He says, hey, Todd, as a MediaCom customer, I love that you called it MediaCon. As a MediaCom customer, I love that you called it MediaCon. I have no idea why this dude, in other words, you're replying to the guy that has a problem. I have no idea why this dude has a problem. Gmail and Google Premier have always worked just fine for me. Bob, thanks for that, Gordon. Hey, Todd, hope's all well. There's more for you in case you're interested. Feel free to make it a listener link. And it's a HTML5 video webinar replay. I have that linked up. Frank sent me an email on no federal charges on the Marion School case. Can you believe that? No charges on that. Got an email here. Got your email, Laura. We'll be responding to you soon. Got an email from John on the Verizon/AT&T challenge. I'd be tempted, except for three things: unlimited data, net neutrality, and SIM cards. I want to be able to buy a phone and use it with a carrier of my choice, not to have to buy a different device when I change carriers. How would it be if my bank said we only support IE browsers and I have a Linux netbook or an iTouch? What's the difference? I should be able to use my device of choice. I am having a tough time being with Verizon, considering that the partnership with Google may end net neutrality. Lastly, currently I have unlimited data with AT&T. Can I get that with Verizon? Or are none of the carriers going to allow that? I won't just switch just because Verizon got the phone. And thanks, John, for your email. Andrew got your email. We're replying to that. Let's see here. We already got Nancy's. And let me go down here and make sure that I've got all these read. I think I have. Got an email from Ron on the former network administrator in San Francisco. Got a 4-year sentence. I got an email from Bree. I don't know if I covered that already, but thanks for the talking about the quality of the last Insider video. Got an email from Glenn on the congratulations on 600. I got an email from, have you heard about this Give a Backpack? And it's basically, you heard about the guy that gives away shoes, right? Well, they got a group that's giving a backpack away with school supplies. I'll have a link to that. And got an email here from, we fixed the 600 show, so it wouldn't crash on the iPad. And I think that's it. I think I got everything covered as far as all old emails. I think that's it. If I missed something, I apologize. Anyway, everyone, thanks for hanging out with me. We're at the end of the show. Voicemail hotline was not used this time, 619-342-7365 for your audio comments. Of course, feel free to drop me a line at geeknews@gmail.com. If you want to send a video comment into the show, you can do that too. We'll patch you in and get you up as a video commenter. And just send me a link to the video wherever you put it. But everyone, thanks for hanging with me. It's been fun. It's been great. We'll see you from the East Coast, 8 p.m. Eastern. Okay, 8 p.m. Eastern is about the time I'm going to get started. And watch for it on Twitter. Come over to geeknewscentral.com. And again, email me at geeknews@gmail.com. And if you're interested again on my new media bootcamp, send me an email. We're going to be signing people up. And this is going to be an absolutely fantastic event. I can promise you that. You're going to get your money's worth unequivocally. I will be pouring my heart and soul out and bringing in people of high caliber to cover all topics. Everyone, take care. Have a great one. We'll see you next time. Aloha.